I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
How do you think Boris Johnson's done so far, John?
Well, he hasn't done too bad.
What's he done then?
Well, he's, you know, he's
out and about, isn't he?
And he's doing things for the veterans.
Yeah, that's a start.
That's a major thing.
You just said veterans. Did you sort of go and sort of Cornish accent there?
Veterans. It's a little bit old fashioned, that, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, the old veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like the old veterans. Could do it up with the veterans.
That's what it sounded like.
But 1940s, didn't they?
The fact is.
Yes.
Listen, I said to you. It's a bit annoying yesterday because obviously I'm going to the States next week.
You are.
Just about to change up for me dollars.
It's going to be hot there, boy.
And the pound, it is going to be hot. But the pound bombed yesterday.
Oh, no.
It dropped to a 28-month low against the dollar and the euro.
Right.
Just as I'm about to change up my dollars.
So what does that mean?
It means that basically.
You're not going to get much for your.
No,
for your
yeah. Not much for me buck. Yeah, it was about, I figured it out, what I was going to change up. I'm about $100 less. But it's there's this sort of debate at the moment.
Yeah.
If there was a no deal,
yes.
Okay, if Boris actually comes out and walks away and says, that's it, we've got no deal.
No deal.
The pound would probably bomb.
Right.
I mean, it would be, you know, you would not want to be going on holiday. You don't want to be changing your money up.
Really?
Into euros, yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Nowadays, cash is not king, right?
No, it's not.
Cash is not king at all. Why'd you bother changing any money up?
What do you mean? Oh, you just were you? Yeah, but you.
Why don't you just take your card?
It's the same thing.
Why is it the same thing?
What are you talking about? As soon as you go and change your money up, you're changing at a currency rate that's still lower. It's not a case of. What do you think? It's different there.
No, I don't think it's different. Don't you just use your card?
Of course, you still use your card, but you're getting less for your money.
Oh, I see. Oh, so, you're really? Yeah, of course you are.
Yeah. Off air, I'll talk you through it. I'll get a blackboard out and I'll get a piece of chalk and I'll show you how it
works,
all right?
Yes.
Listen, Boris met Nicola Sturgeon yesterday. It was a proper icy encounter, which it would be. She's never going to be a lover of him. We're joined now by Andrew Woodcock, political editor of The Independent. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Andrew.
What did you make of that yesterday? Listen, this was never going to go well, was it?
Well, it wasn't, no. I mean, you've only got to look at the photos. There's some fantastic expressions on the faces of Boris Johnson looking eager to please and eager to make friends. And Nicola Sturgeon's face was you know, like a block of ice. And she'd clearly chosen the face that she wanted to appear in the photos. Mm. I mean, I think Boris is... Yeah, he was touring the country trying to love bomb the various areas of the country, trying to give them some of his enthusiasm about Brexit, some of his what he regards as the optimistic view of the future. But he's going to find he's running up against quite an obstacle in that, because there are people, a lot of people out there, obviously, who just don't share his opinion. And in Scotland, that's very much the case. I mean, Scotland voted to remain, and they've stayed to remain supporting country and. Nicola Sturgeon was very scornful about him after the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I had a bit of a debate about this last night. And they said, you know, what was it, 62%, was it, voted for Remain? Was it Scotland?
In Scotland, about that.
About 62%. But they also voted a few years back to remain as part, as part of the UK.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they can't make their mind up, could they?
Yeah.
Well, one of the big arguments during the Scottish independence referendum, of course, was that if Scotland was to leave the UK, they'd have to reapply for membership of the European Union. They might not get into the European Union. They might have to be, you know, to take on the use of the euro as part of that. And one of the big arguments of the No campaign in the independence referendum was stay in the UK because it's your one way of being sure that you remain a member of the European Union. So it cuts both ways out.
Yeah, I suppose it does. You're right. Listen, Nicola Sturgeon believes that Johnson's main plan now is a no deal. Is the prioritising no deal preparations over negotiating a new deal with the EU?
It looks that way. I mean, that's what all the government activity is going into at the moment. There's a new committee of senior cabinet ministers that's meeting for the first time today under Michael Gove. He's going to meet every single day over the next 93 days, I think it is, before the deadline. And they're going to, they're putting a lot of money into preparations for no deal. They're putting out advice, information to businesses, to farmers, to holidaymakers, whatever, what they should do to prepare for no deal. While in terms of trying to find a deal, all Boris Johnson has done so far is he's rung around the European leaders. He said he doesn't like Theresa May's withdrawal agreement. He wants it torn up. He wants them to take out the backstop, which Brussels says is absolutely essential. They've said no, and that seems to be the end of it for the time being. I mean, the guidance we're getting is we're now waiting for them to change their minds. We're waiting for them to show some what Boris Johnson calls some goodwill, and that's they downstream seem to think the ball is in Brussels court. And frankly, it's a matter of weeks they've got to find a new withdrawal agreement. And if they really wanted one, you'd have thought they would be putting a lot more effort into it at this point.
I'm just wondering, though, is the fact that you just said that, we're preparing, he's making some people aware and start preparing for a no deal, is that almost like sort of playing a bit of a poker hand to sort of say to the Europeans, look, listen, we're preparing for this. We're going to do it. If you don't give us what we want, we're already preparing for it. And it's almost sort of forcing their hand to at least give us something.
That is certainly the tactic which he's pursuing, yeah. It's interesting, the first response from Michel Barnier, the EU's chief negotiator, when Boris Johnson made his speech immediately after becoming Prime Minister, when he set out that position, Michel Barnier sent a note round to the 27 EU countries and said, essentially, the new British Prime Minister is taking a combative approach. We therefore have to really stepping up our preparations for no deal, making sure we're ready for it. The tactic could go either way. I mean, it could be that Brussels just looks at that and says, well, he's no longer interested in a deal. We need to get ready. We need to prepare ourselves. And then it's a question of who loses most in a no deal.
But I think I might be right, but
you might be wrong.
I might be wrong. Sound like Johnny Lydon. If you don't sort of force their hand a little bit, if you don't start showing, the good business leaders of the world will sort of. Say take it or leave it, and start preparing to show something. If we don't do anything in the background, they're going to go, well, they're not even preparing for it. We're just going to give them the same deal that Theresa May we offered.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, but the analogy which supporters of Brexit often put forward is you go into a business deal or you go to buy a house or a car or whatever, you don't go into the room saying, I'm definitely going to have to buy this. You always leave yourself a way out and you say, well, I can walk away with no deal.
Agreed,
that's fine. But the difference is, if you're going to buy a car, you go into car sales room. The guy there gives you a bad package, bad deal. You decide you don't want the car. You walk out. You're in exactly the same position as when you walked in because you can go back to what you were before, bloke with no car. This is entirely different from that. If we say no deal, we're not going back to where we were before. We're going to an entirely different situation. It's more like you're trying to sell a car. Bloke doesn't offer you a good price, and you say, "Well, I'll set fire to it instead." Then,
But it's also in their interest, isn't it? It's in their interest as well that we don't leave with no deal.
It's in their interest, yeah. Certainly, the European economy would take a hit if there's a no deal scenario because they sell us quite a lot of stuff. They sell us cars, they sell us wine, they sell us all sorts of things. But the UK. market for European exports makes up something like, I don't know, 5 or 10% of their economies or their export economy. The European market for the UK makes up, I think it's 45% of our export economy. So they would suffer, we would suffer something like 10 times as much. And that is the calculation in Brussels is, okay, the UK may be playing hardball here, but they're the ones that are going to really lose out as a result. We'll have a, you know, an unwelcome hit to our economy, but it'll be nothing like the scale of what's going to hit the British economy if there's no deal.
Wow. Andrew Litton, the Scottish Tory leader, Ruth Davidson, has said she's unable to get behind no deal. Will she be able to distance herself from Bojo in a general election?
Well, I think the Tories in Scotland are quite concerned about what's going to happen because, I mean, yeah, they've wiped out before. They're only just starting to make, over the last 5 years or so under Ruth Davidson's leadership, they've started to get back a few toeholds in Scotland. They've been helped a lot by the collapse of Labour up there. But to the extent to which Ruth Davidson can sort of insulate herself from the impact of what's going on in London, I would have thought, yeah, she'll try, but she will have her work cut out because, when you go into a voting booth, you're looking at the party overall. You're looking at largely what the party's leaders in Westminster are doing, and she can distance herself as much as she likes from Boris, but that is not necessarily going to translate into seats for the Tories in Scotland. I think they, if there's a no deal Brexit, I think they'll be facing a torrid time up there.
Yeah, I just got to ask you about about Sterling at the moment because I'm about to go to the States on Tuesday and I was just about to change my money up and I didn't do it. So annoyed, and it bombed yesterday. I think it was the lowest for 28 months. I just wanted to see what do you think would happen if we did leave with no deal.
Well, I mean, I'm not one to offer financial advice. I'm not an expert. I'm not going to take any responsibility for what people's, financial decisions are. But, all the economists you talk to or read their reports, they're all expecting the pound to plummet if we have a no-deal Brexit. Some people would say that would be helpful because we'll then be able to export our goods more cheaply and that, it will boost trade, but it certainly won't help people going on holiday, that's for sure.
No, it's a really annoying. Just ask you about this one. Alistair Campbell always makes me laugh, I don't know why. Tony Blair's former communications chief, Alistair Campbell, has told Corbyn he doesn't want to return to his loser party. Is the bitter because he was, is it just the fact he was kicked out of the party that he's taken that approach?
Well, he's an absolutely tribal Labour bloke, Alistair Campbell. You cannot imagine anyone less likely to join a Labour Party. He's been Labour through and through for years. But his Labour Party and the Labour Party that Jeremy Corbyn envisaged are two entirely different beasts, aren't they, really, when you look at it?
Yeah.
It's interesting that people like him can't find a home for themselves in today's Labour Party. But I think people around Corbyn won't be at all sorry to see him go. They regard him as part of the sort of the toxic crew that are responsible for the Iraq war and, responsible for a lot of, deviation from what they believe as, was true Labour thinking during the 97 period. He's not a popular figure, I suppose, Alistair Campbell, but he's, he speaks his mind and then, people in Westminster have a certain amount of respect for him for that.
Yeah.
As I say, you can't see him defecting to Liberal Democrats. That's the last thing in the world I would not expect, to be honest, even though he says he voted for him in the European elections.
He might go up and help Nicola Sturgeon. Who knows?
It's a name like Campbell. He must have some sort of Scottish.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Exactly. And we were talking earlier about sort of Johnny Sperling here still thinks that everybody in Scotland has got ginger hair. So I just...
I was generalising, Andrew, that's all. I know a few with ginger beards and, and the sparring and all right. that. Wearing it.
Oh dear, there you go. He gingerized them all.
Yes.
And listen, Andrew, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate
thanks,
it.
Andrew.
And let's
talk to you.
Let's
and to you, mate.
Please God the pound recovers before I go to the States. Andrew Woodcock there, political editor of The Independent.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Now you know that I love dropping my left and throwing the right over the top at you.
Oh you do.
You do. Sometimes when you sing, maybe you sing a harmony when we're doing a gig.
Yes. And oh yeah, you drop me a
I always try to sort of bend me knees. I try just little left hook to your ribs.
You normally get it,
and I throw the right straight over the top.
Yeah.
You know, always works.
Painful.
It is painful. Yeah. Try to do it to Andy Carroll Friday night. It was at our gig. He was
that.
So tall.
You got his knee.
I got hit him in the knee. Fantastic. Listen, John, we're talking about this situation with Jarrell Miller, who failed a drugs test recently. And Jarrell Miller has come out and said he thinks Hearn has double standards over the Dillian White situation, which we still don't know the facts about the Dillian White situation. And we've had him on the show before. He's a fantastic guest. And we've met his dad on a few occasions. Wally Downs Jr., some boxing reporter. How are you, Wally?
Hello, Felicia. Thank you.
Very good, very good. Listen, what do you think about this situation with what Jarrell Miller has said about Hearn?
I think Jarrell's in a pretty handy situation because due to the red tape that went on with him and the New York Commission, he's not really facing any form of ban, and he's going to come back with a bigger reputation and a bigger name than he had before, which is disgraceful, really. I was really sucked in by Miller when he came over here just before the fight with AJ was made. It obviously didn't happen in the end. And the things he was talking about, how he wanted to make houses for kids back at home and how where he'd come from nothing and had to do it all in small shows, was really refreshing. But then the amount of substances that were found in his system was just so deplorable, and he didn't try to deny it or get out of it. He's just landed on his feet.
Yeah.
The fact he's got 6 months to sit out, and I know for a fact that he was sending some really spiteful, mean messages to Dillian White long before his failed test came around. So I think he plays up to being a bit of a victim and someone who's been hard done by and who's very sorry. But for me, Miller's not the nice character that we thought he might be
really?
When he played up to being Big Baby, yeah.
Wally, what do you think the penalty should... Should it be a little bit harsher than it is? You know, I mean, it doesn't seem to be very...
No.
You know, it seems to be a bit lenient. I mean, should it be like a ban?
A proper ban.
A proper ban, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
For Jarrell?
Yeah, or just in general,
just in
for
general
drugs.
For drugs.
And boxing.
It seems to be a little bit just lax.
Yeah, well, if you look at the fighters that are still moving around in the heavyweight division, not many of them haven't been done before. So, you know, we asked Deontay Wilder the other day when he was in London, are you almost all guilty by association? Some of my friends who don't really cover boxing but just sort of watch the big fights, they just assume that everyone's at it, which is terrible, really, for those guys that aren't. But sadly, you look at the guys that are getting massive fights, guys like Louis Ortiz and Alexander Povetkin, these are two-time, you know, multiple failures. Jarrell Miller was done in MMA before he came over to boxing, so he's now a two-time failure in two different sports. But these guys will keep getting fights because there's money in it. Once you're earning a certain amount of money, it benefits everyone for you to keep doing it. You know, the young guys who get caught by UCAD who might be playing rugby league or boxing at southern area level, they can get caught and it looks okay on the UCAD record, but banning them they'll get a ban. But the guys at the very top, you know, who benefits from them getting caught? You know, when Canelo was done, that really amazed me. I was completely amazed. I never thought someone that high up would get caught. And you saw by the 6 month ban that no one really wanted him to be caught. They might as well have not bothered
because the money that's generated. Just on that, Wally. Just what is the substances that we're sort of finding? Because let's say in the old days it was like nandrolone and ephedrine and stuff like that. What is it that we're finding in the traces? Because is it substances that help you to recover quickly from training, or is it strength stuff? Is it putting on muscle? What are we finding?
Well, I think Jarrell Miller had more or less everything that was about, really.
He's been to Ibiza for the weekend.
Took everything that was going, yeah. I'll have that.
He's been a megaloof.
He wasn't messing about. The reports about Dillian, which are still, you know, that until the B sample comes out, he's innocent until proven guilty, and he may even be able to explain it if those traces are right. They are two metabolites, which is essentially a byproduct of a steroid called Dianabol.
Yes.
And Dianabol, which to me didn't look like the best, it doesn't look like the cleverest thing in the world for someone to be taking because it puts on a lot of muscle mass.
Yes.
But from what I've read up on it, it stays in your system for a very long time. Now, obviously people who are abusing steroids, they go on what's called cycles.
Yeah.
And they, you know, if you manage it right, then you can go for years and not get caught and not harm your body. But this one is in your system for a long time. So it did look to me like a strange steroid for someone who is in, who was under VADA testing or can be UCAD tested. It did seem like a risky drug to be taking if he is proven to have taken it. But Dianabol, it was it's ideal for bodybuilders, which again. Yeah.
I know bodybuilders who take that. You know, and you're right.
I think it leaves you with a lot of water retention, which again for boxing is the last thing you want.
Yeah, and it does. And you're right. It's in cycles. I think they do sort of 8-10 week cycles and take a certain amount. So I'm assuming that he's probably taking another drug to try and hide that. I think there is. You can take certain drugs to try and disguise it, if you like. But you just at this level, Wally. You know, the amount of money that these boys are earning, you know, especially in the heavyweight division, you just wouldn't do it, would you?
Well, you would if you thought everyone else was and they were all getting away with it.
All right, yeah.
That's the only way you have to look at it. I know it's absolutely horrendous.
It's not being a sportsman, is it?
Yeah, but it's gone through every sport, hasn't it, John? And this is what I'm saying.
It's ridiculous.
This is the reason why we're saying that a 6-month ban is just not enough, is it? Because most of these fighters don't fight the big fights for, let's say, 8-10 months anyway. I just want to ask you, Bob Arum has slammed Eddie Hearn this morning, saying he didn't handle the situation properly. Do you think that Hearn should have acted a bit differently?
Well, I don't tend to take too much notice when these promoters all just have they just love it when someone does something wrong, whether it's Eddie or Frank or Bob Arum. They all sort of have a dig at each other, whether they're in the right or not. But Eddie's defence is that you know a hearing was called with an anti-doping panel. Dillian provided evidence. Eddie wasn't there. The panel were happy enough for the fight to go ahead. His defence is, I followed the rules. I followed the process. And it was in a contract that he legally cannot pull the fight. So he is, you know, in black and white, he's in the clear. But I think it's much more of a moral and ethical standpoint that Oscar Rivas and his team wasn't informed and the WBC who was sanctioning the fight wasn't informed. So, you know, Eddie is right. He's completely in the clear. Apparently he followed all the right protocols and processes. But, you know, if this A sample is confirmed with the B sample, then he was complicit in a fighter with traces of metabolites of a steroid going in and punching someone really hard for 12 rounds. So I wouldn't fancy that on my CV, to be honest.
No. What do you think of Rivas will be feeling in this situation? I mean, he dropped White in the ninth and showed himself to be a pretty good fighter. I mean, has he been robbed of a WBC title shot?
Yeah, we did. I think we all thought he would be dangerous. We didn't think it would be a really easy night for Dillian. I thought Dillian boxed, you know, quite well, stuck behind his jab, didn't get involved in too much of a tear-up, which I think Rivas would have loved. What happens with the WBC now will be interesting because they can revoke his mandatory position if they want to. Often it's the sanctioning bodies who actually do a decent bit of punishment when boxers are caught going back in the past. So Dillian could lose his, even if he doesn't get a very long ban, the WBC could make changes. And the WBC have a really tight relationship with Al Haymon and the PBC fighters who Deontay Wilder was almost relentlessly fighting, all of his stablemates. Yeah. And Dillian was for 600 days trying to get ahead of one of them. There were guys like Brazil's getting rematches and Ortiz's. So it will be even worse on Dillian if that's the case, because It will almost look like it's the perfect situation for PBC in that, because he's taken out of that and then Deontay can go back to fighting the usual guys that he was liking to line up with.
You just mentioned Deontay Wilder's been over here this week, I think, hasn't he? He'd come.
I saw
a picture of my old mate Colin McMillan was with him, and I just what was he over for? What was he? It was a bit of PR stuff.
So he did a talk in Birmingham, one of those big. Like have a dinner and an auction and a Q&A. He did one in Birmingham, one in London. He did Piers Morgan's show in the morning. He went on Talk Sport, and then he came over to the Fitzroy Lodge and gave a talk to a load of, you know, young kids and young boxers, and had a sit down with the newspaper reporters. I mean, largely it was all sort of hijacked because of the Dillian White stuff, you know. That was the main thing people wanted to talk to him about, and he was great on it. I think he was up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get onto Good Morning Breakfast, and he was still talking to us at 5 p.m. at the Fitzroy Lodge.
Was he? Brilliant.
And what your opinion, Wally, out of the three of them, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, and AJ. I suppose we've got to get Ruiz in that now, but you know, let's say the three of them. Who's the best?
I still think Fury's the best natural boxer out of all of them, and would outbox them all. I think if Wilder got him with AJ, he'd probably catch him and stop him. But again, you know, I think Tyson's the absolute best boxer out of all of them. But he failed a drug test for nandrolone not long after beating Hammer before he fought Klitschko. Mm. And because UCAD didn't handle it very well, he got a backdated ban and he had time out. But it's almost completely expunged, you know, and I'm guilty of it myself. That brilliant night in Dusseldorf when he stunned the world. But there's an asterisk alongside that as well, which is a real, real shame, because I think he's just about as good as any heavyweight's going to get with the things that he can do and the way he moves.
Do they get fined a lot for the
drugs?
Failing the drugs?
He accepted a fine, yeah, but because he obviously he twisted his ankle with Klitschko, so he never, and then he got ballooned up and had mental health problems and gave all his belts back, so... I mean, on a different time scale, but he had 2-3 years out, but he was in no fit state to fight anyway. You know, when Canelo accepted a 6-month ban, he had a knee operation that had been niggling away at him. So, you know, it benefited him. I mean, Dillian White has sat down with us and said before that he thought Tyson Fury's entire mental health problem and cocaine use was a cover-up for doping. And that's why him being implicated in something like this is so disappointing as well, because... Yeah. A lot of these guys are pointing, you know, Jarrell Miller's pointing fingers at AJ, and Dillian has done it plenty of times as well.
Yeah, I saw that the last time with AJ, and when he lost, I saw Dillian White's camp saying similar sort of things. God, just before you go, I just got to quickly ask you, Dave Allen said he will definitely fight again after his loss to David Price. He's been through quite a lot, hasn't he? Where will his career go now, Dave Allen?
I think Dave Allen would have been more than happy just winning a British title, to be honest, and I think he's definitely capable of doing that. Daniel Dubois has just picked it up. It was an absolute sensation at the minute. So if Daniel doesn't hang around with it, I mean, I think he will, because he's only 21, I think. So he should defend that a few times and maybe try and keep the Lonsdale belt and bring a bit of a steam back to the title, because Huey Fury dropped it and it hasn't really been that much of a bauble for a few people for a number of years. So I think he would love to win a British title. The beatings that he's taken before he's got really famous, he boxed Tony Yoka, another steroid cheat who's just served a really long ban, Olympic gold medalist. Dillian White beat him up, Louis Ortiz beat him. He's had some real, real long fights, and you can't knock the geezer out. Like, he always goes 12 rounds. I don't even think he's been down yet, and he's been beaten up by four or five of the biggest, hardest hitting guys in the division. So...
You said
I think he'll come back.
You said a long ban. How long was that ban?
Yoka, I think Yoka did a year, but I don't think... Yoka, he refused to answer the door to testers. So he was never found to have anything in his system. But they banged on his door for about 3 hours, kept going away and coming back, and he wouldn't answer the door. So that was what his ban was.
That's a bit like me and Johnny Sperling. I've banged on his door trying to wake him up many times.
many times.
Listen, Lemachenko, it looks to fight Luke Campbell, Britain's Luke Campbell, on August 31st. I know a few of my mates have said Lemachenko is the best boxer at any weight class. What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't go against that. He's pretty unreal if you go back and look at the fights that he's done. Even he manages to make fellas quit, which is even stranger. You know, not many boxers in the world quit. And on his record, he's got 3 or 4 RTDs, because guys just, you just don't know what you can do with him. I mean, Anthony Crolla from England boxed him not long ago. He was his last opponent, and Crolla looked in brilliant condition, an absolute warrior, and in 6 rounds he was just completely taken apart. So my only worry with Luke Campbell is Luke Campbell is a brilliant, brilliant southpaw boxer, another Olympic champion, but he's going to be so similar, and Lomachenko's going to know exactly what he's doing. I think the only way someone might beat Loma is just being completely weird. Someone like Wilder is obviously a completely different weight class, but someone who is just completely different, whereas I think Luke is a textbook brilliant southpaw boxer, amateur pedigree, but Loma will have seen that for the last 20 years. So yeah. I can't see it being anything but a Lomachenko win, but I think it'll be a great fight.
Wally, it's wonderful having you on. Give us a great insight into a lot of the details of these boys.
Yeah, brilliant. It's fascinating.
Wally, thanks for your time, as always.
Cheers, Wally.
Wally Downs Jr., their son, boxing reporter. John, you probably didn't realise how much of the drug situation that runs through boxing.
No,
and the fact that they're only banned for 6 months,
it's ridiculous.
It's not right, is it?
No, of course it's not.
You know, but like
made examples of.
But what he said, if the others are doing it, you think, well, if they're doing it, I've got to do it.
Yeah. Do you really? Is that
well, I think that's where they're at. They've all got, there's a majority of them have got a little bit of history here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not right. It's got to change.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The wonderful Vicky Michelle.
Vicky
Michelle joins us on the line.
Joins us here.
Vicky.
How are you, Vicky?
Hello, hello, boys.
Hello,
how
hello, my
you?
Darling. I haven't spoken to you for a long time.
No, I know. I'm missing you, Johnny.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Vicky, just obviously, listen, it's lovely having you
I
on.
I was listening to that. You're talking about Norman Wisdom. And
Norman Wisdom.
Yeah. Do you remember that show that we did for you, that you got us on to sing for Norman Wisdom?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That was for the Heritage, wasn't it?
Yeah. The Heritage, that's right. Yeah.
It was.
He was brilliant. I loved Norman.
Oh, he was my
favourite. Sir Norman.
One of my favourites, Sir Norman.
It was, yeah. Vicky, just tell us, because look, we've been talking about Boris Johnson today, and he had a very frosty meeting with Nicola Sturgeon yesterday. And we've
would have been frosty.
Yeah, no, it was never going to go that well. Now, you met Boris recently. How was he?
But he's lovely. I love Boris. I think it was at it was Andrew Rosendale who's the MP for Romford, and ever since he became MP in 2002, he has a victory dinner every day. So every year,
right?
I was going to say every day,
every day,
Vicky. That's a bit of a dinner, isn't it?
Oh no, I'd be there though. You would, Johnny, as well, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd love it, Vicky. I'd love it. A dinner every
love
day.
A party.
Oh yes.
It's like being a Magaluf.
But this was in 2016, and Boris was the guest of honour there, and I think this year they had Jeremy Hunt. But he was lovely. I just think that I really like Boris because I think he's an optimist. He's up. He's got a good personality. I mean, so many of them are so boring.
Is that?
I mean, you look at them and you think dweebs. And I know that's really bad.
Well, it's very true, though, isn't it? I mean, we had the choice, didn't we, of the two of them, and he's got to go with Boris, isn't he? He's so boring. The
Jeremy
other
Hunt has obviously got, you know, he's got a good knowledge, he's got
nice
way about him.
Yeah.
But we're looking for a character, aren't we, Vicky?
Absolutely.
I'm looking for a leader type.
Yeah.
You know, come on. There's got to be, you know, because if you look at the people that are in Parliament, they're not leader. There's not a lot of leader qualities. They might be very intelligent, but there's not those leadership qualities.
They're right.
And
they're right old leaders, aren't they? Now, Vicky, who's your favourite leader been? Who's your favourite?
Well, no, because I thought Churchill was fantastic. And to be quite honest, in terms of whether you agreed with her or not, Margaret Thatcher was a leader. She stuck by what she said, this is what's going to happen, and she did it.
Everyone to buy their houses. What do you make? Huh? There you go.
She did. Everybody
bought their house.
Yeah.
So she did something that was a bit different, whether you liked or you didn't. What do you make of, just while we're on it, what do you make of Donald Trump?
Wow, he's
Everybody laughs. Everyone just laughs.
He's controversial. Yeah. In fact, my sister used to know him back in the day when she was in America.
Wow.
And He's really controversial. A lot of the stuff I don't agree with, but he has turned his country round, and they have, and it is going forward.
Yeah.
You know, and so therefore, that's, you know, I mean, it's political, but you know, he's got his country at heart. But a lot of the other stuff, no, you can't agree with that. No. You know,
yeah, he makes some mad ones, doesn't he?
He does make some mad ones.
God, I know that you and your sisters, you've got an agency that you sort of look after celebrities and a few sports stars. Who do you look after?
Oh, well, we have it's called Trading Faces. So I started this company when Alolo finished because I thought, I need to earn money. I've got a mortgage and everything, you know. And so I started it off. So it's been going for over 20 years now. And two of my sisters really run the company now for me. And it's so we use celebrities. We've used Dame Kelly Holmes, Sebastian Coe, Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill, who we used before she was famous, Sally Gunnell. All of the big Steve Redgrave's done some stuff for us, so we get lots of jobs in, and then Mark Blundell, you know, all of Frank Bruno, one of my favourites, he's worked for us, Sharon Davis, you know, Colin Jackson, loads of mates and loads of celebrities we use, sports people for the company, and so you know, I meet them a lot, so I'm sort of mixing in. Sporting circles.
Well, I know that anybody that you meet, Vicky, you manage to get them. Everyone wants to work with you, or everyone wants to do anything that you're doing. But what a career you've had, though.
Oh, bless you.
The people that you've worked with.
I work with amazing people.
I mean, Kenneth Connor, for example.
I know.
Now, people are not going to know what I'm talking about there. There are quite a few listeners.
I don't.
You don't know Kenneth Connor?
No.
Oh, wow.
Do.
You don't, do you? Well, he's from the Carry On films. He's the one who used to go, cool.
Oh, him, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
The little fella.
Yeah.
And he played Monsieur Alphonse.
Yes, he did,
The Undertaker in Hello, Hello.
Which I was going to say, just on Hello, Hello, obviously, I think, wasn't you going to do some reruns, or you was getting all the cast back together, and then you had a bit of sadness, didn't you?
What do you mean when Gordon passed away?
When Gordon
we're getting the cast. I mean, Gordon passed away a couple of years ago, and that was a shock because we didn't even know he was in a home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sad because you lose contact, and he was, you know, lives around Huddersfield way, and so we didn't really sort of keep in touch that much because he was so far away. But it was sad. But we were going to get. I think there was always rumours, Martin, of you know, getting Alolo back together again. I think the last thing we did was the return of Alolo that Jeremy Lloyd wrote, and that was
brilliant. That was really good. Yeah.
Did you watch it? Yeah.
Of course, I watched it.
Bless you. We got millions of viewers. And,
you did.
And it was great, you know, so we've gone forward in time.
You haven't changed a bit, Vicky. You still look the same.
I'm loving you. Neither of you, Johnny. Neither of you, Martin. You both look gorgeous.
Oh, that's nice of you. just tell us about what you're doing at the moment, Vic.
Well, at this moment, on September the 17th, I'm going to do an audience with, it's called I Shall Say This Only Once with Vicky Michelle. It wasn't my line, I know that, but everyone knows about it. So I'm going to talk about my career, get some mates along, get them up with me, talk about things that I've done, people I've worked with, you know, amazing people that I've worked with over the years.
You certainly have.
When is that? When is that?
On the 17th. Oh, it's Tuesday the 17th of September, and it's at the Pizza Express Live at Holborn.
Oh, brilliant.
And
wow.
It's £20 a ticket. It's not bad.
Wonderful.
And you could just have a pizza and things like that. I love those venues. You're going to come?
Yes.
Of course we're going to come.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
Can I get you up and sing?
Of course
absolutely.
Try and stop us. Yeah. Great.
And then after that, I've got pantomime. I'm doing Snow White at the Grand Opera House, York, from the 13th of December to the 4th of January.
Do you really enjoy the pantomime? They're great, aren't they?
I love it.
Yeah.
I really love them because it's like, you know, you're celebrating Christmas for weeks.
That's right.
It's like being, you know, I'm playing the Wicked Queen, which is a really bad part.
And it's good money as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't think I've ever been in the bracket of those really big, you know, big money. But I'm very happy to do my panto.
Oh, God, yeah.
You still get it every year. And I know that I did a show just after you. We worked for the same producer, didn't we? Yeah,
we did.
In fact, me and you got paid, but I know that a few people didn't get paid. But
we did. It was a good show, actually. That's when I toured with my daughter, Louise.
And that was with Faye Tozer.
How is Louise, by the way?
That was with Faye Tozer from Steps as well, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Faye Tozer was it. She was brilliant. In fact, we went to see her in Strictly,
yeah,
which I thought she was amazing. Lulu's fine, John.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you.
She's acting, isn't she?
She's acting and things, but she's working, she's doing PR, because you know how difficult it is with acting, and
oh,
she's
God,
such
yeah.
a good actress. And she's done some stand-up.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and she's really good at that. So I think that, you know, hopefully, I think that'll take over as well. But she's enjoying herself with PR. She's working with people like Little Mix and people like that. So
brilliant.
That's great.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Vic, listen, we've got to get you to play the Bell and Sperling game, okay? I'm going to make
right.
it as easy as possible. Now, so far... yeah. I'm just looking. Tamara San, you know Tamara.
I know Tamara.
Tamara's got a really bad time, actually. But Anthony Costa, he did pretty well. Tony Gale's done pretty well.
Yeah.
And the idea is that
them, yeah.
we give you five questions. You've got to name five of everything.
It's Bell and Sperling's five at five.
Five at five.
Five at five. So what have I got to do? Answer
okay.
the
It's right. the quickest round the track.
Yeah,
it's a bit like
yeah.
Top Gear without Jeremy Clarkson, okay?
Yeah.
So
okay.
all we're going to do, when we start the clock, you've got to name five or something of what I give. They're going to be nice and easy ones,
yeah.
okay? All right, okay?
Right.
You've got to name as five as quickly as you can, then we
as
stop the clock,
can, yeah.
okay? And
right.
then we'll add the five up, okay?
What if I can't answer it?
We'll help you.
We'll help you.
We'll help you. Don't worry, Vic.
Don't leave me hanging.
No. Never do that.
Don't worry. Okay. So
okay.
And your time starts.
Wait a minute. I'm going to Say the question and then the clock will start.
Oh, okay,
okay
yeah,
ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. You have to name five 70s or 80s sitcoms.
Oh, Are You Being Served? Dad's Army. You Rang Me Lord. No, Lord, I think
yep,
that's
yep,
what I'm
yep,
You
yep.
Rang Me Lord. Hello,
yes, of course.
Only Fools and Horses.
She's in.
Stop the clock.
That's it.
Okay, so we're going to put
well.
That time. We're going to put that time down. That's the first
that's
one.
That's the first
okay.
one. That's the first
okay,
one.
We're
wait,
just
I've
keep
got
that.
Five of them.
Yes,
she
did.
That was it.
That's
no,
it. That's
no,
it. We've got another four questions.
No.
Right, now this is nice and easy. It's a sport one. It's
oh,
a sport one, but made it easy.
Oh, no.
Okay. You've got to name five England footballers.
Oh, my God. Bobby Moore, Jeff Hurst, David Ginola, George Best. And
yeah.
Harry Redknapp.
You can't have David Ginola. You got Harry Redknapp. We'll let them out go. Go on, two more. David Beckham.
Beckham and
Teddy.
Liz around the corner.
Teddy Sheringham.
There you go. You got five.
Why couldn't I have Bobby Moore?
You could have Bobby Moore.
You just can't have David Ginola. He's not
David Ginola's French.
Oh, blast. He's my favourite.
I know he's beautiful.
He's a beautiful man.
I met him at a charity do, and I got a photo with David Ginola.
Wow. You see, you
yeah.
picked the two of the
but
most...
he did play in England,
you picked
course.
The two of the most beautiful footballers, George Best and David Ginola.
No, I know, because they were my two favourites.
Cool,
of course, you knew George Best too, Vicky, didn't you?
So there you go.
Well, I did, yeah. Right. We used to go down tramp and everything. He was always in tramp, bless him. And I saw him, like, sort of... Oh God, it was probably quite a few years ago, and he was doing a talk. Who did he do the talks with? The other footballer. Oh,
yeah,
I can't remember.
Do you know I met him quite a few
Hang
times?
Hang on a minute. Question number three.
Oh, sorry.
What's the matter with you people? right, here we go. Film. Name five James Bond films.
Oh, I don't know that.
Right, we'll help you.
Goldfinger.
Yes.
And
Spy.
Spy.
Spy. Love Me.
Two.
And
Doctor.
Doctor.
Doctor No.
Three.
And
what? You only live...
Once.
No!
That'd do.
Twice!
Yes!
Twice!
And one
you
more.
Only lived twice.
And one more.
Man with the golden gun.
There you go, stop the clock.
Well done.
This is good, this game.
I'm loving this.
This is going to be
good.
Easy.
But now I'm not quick enough. I think the first one was quick.
Doing fine, Vicky.
Right,
okay,
this is very easy. It can be from any genre.
Yes.
Name five female singers.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, Petula Clark.
Yes.
Macy Gray.
Barbara
Streisand.
Yeah.
And Dinah Ross.
Yes.
And Martha and the Vandellas.
That day, five.
Martha
Rees.
It's Martha Rees, but well done.
Martha Rees.
That's it.
I love it.
Oh, God, there was too many.
No, it wasn't. It was fine.
Now, Vicky.
You know when your brain goes, there's
it does.
Too many.
Every
I was going to do Heather Small because I met her recently.
Ah,
she's fabulous.
Great.
We love her.
Brilliant.
She's great.
Now, listen, you were in the jungle. You were in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yep.
It was a fantastic...
Is this her last question?
You were brilliant. It's your last question.
It's your last question.
All you have to do is name five of the people that were in the jungle with you.
Yep.
Oh, no. Hang on. When do I get to start?
Oh, now.
Now.
Oh, Jimmy Bullard, Edwina Curry,
You've forgotten already, haven't you?
Oh, God, yes, I've forgotten them already.
Come on, who won
the
it?
The guy that ran.
Who won it?
About what? The two hosts? How about the hosts?
Two hosts.
Oh, yes, Ant and Dec.
And there's four.
There's four.
Yeah, and...
Yourself.
Oh, my...
And yourself.
There we are, we're in.
Stop the clock.
How could I not remember
everyone? Do you
know,
Vicky, I said to mine before we... I said, she's forgotten it, I'm telling you. She's forgotten who she was in the jungle with.
It's fantastic.
Foggy, who won it?
It was Foggy, wasn't it?
Foggy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Carl Foggy.
How many years ago was that now?
And the boy that's become really famous and he's in musicals and that...
Yeah, I can't think. He can't be that famous. We can't remember his name.
And the girl from the Playboy. I really liked her.
There you go.
Yeah, well, so did I. But Vicky, how long ago was that?
What year was that?
How long ago was
it? 2014. Is that another...
14? Was it that long
ago?
OK,
now, Vicky, I'm going to give you your time. I'm going to tell
you. It's not as bad as us.
I'm going to tell
we
you.
We were terrible.
I've got an idea. Yeah. Everyone else was driving gear cars. You were driving an automatic here because it's down the leaderboard a bit. Your time is 1:40.
Nah, she's done well.
She's done well. There you go. We're going to put Vicky Michelle
well
down.
Well done, Vic.
How far down am I then?
You're sort of near the bottom.
That's
but
not
we're
fair.
Worse, aren't we? Did we do
we
worse?
Were worse? We were worse.
We were worse.
You beat us by 3 seconds.
There we are.
You know what it is? Because you've got to click into the,
no, it is hard.
The question.
It is hard. Very difficult.
Vicky.
Why didn't you just tell me what you're going to ask me?
Yeah, you should have done. Should we? You can swat it up on it a bit.
Listen, it's wonderful having you on. We've got to go to a break now. But do you know what? We're going to get you back on when you're going to promote an audience
yes,
with.
Yes, absolutely.
Brilliant. Thanks, darling.
It's going to be right. Wonderful.
We love
lots
you, Vic.
Lots of love.
Round of applause for Vicky Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to Bell and Sperling on Love Sport Radio, and it's just, we was obviously talking earlier, John. Yep.
We've been talking for nearly 4 hours.
Now, I don't want to talk about the seagulls eating each other.
No, we'll save that for later.
We've spoken about that. That's just because it's so hot. We're talking a little bit about Raheem Sterling. Now, Raheem Sterling, it's reported that he may be captain of Man City.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the fact is that Raheem Sterling...
Didn't he captain England for half an hour?
He did for half an hour, yeah. I think he did, yeah.
That was diabolical, I thought.
Do you think so?
But a terrible thing.
Okay.
You give someone the captaincy for the game.
Yeah.
And then just because Harry Kane, who normally is captain, comes on. Oh,
give him the band.
Can I have my band, please?
I've just got it. And he gave me it.
Oh, we are.
But do you... okay.
It's a bit like that, though, isn't it?
We did have a chat about Raheem Sterling and whether he'd make a great England captain.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know.
No?
I think because a captain has got to be a strong character. You know, your Tony...
He's certainly strengthened character,
your Tony Adams, the people like that. Strong characters that are on the football field that when you sit in the dressing room, you look round and you go... We could win this because we've got him as
captain.
We've
got him as captain, okay. Yeah.
I think it's a powerful thing. Listen, we've been having a laugh today about lots of bits and pieces, but one of the most momentous occasions, 53 years ago, okay?
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Bobby Moore lifted that trophy.
Yes.
Okay? It's the last time we won anything, okay? Yeah. And it's a
powerful
thing.
It's amazing when you mention the name Bobby Moore.
Without doubt.
How people react.
Yeah. And everybody that we've had on this show...
incredible.
Everyone we've had on this show talks about Bobby in that respect.
They
and
do.
We're
they
very
do.
Fortunate enough now to have his daughter on, who's a good friend of ours, Roberta Moore, who joins us now. Afternoon, Roberta.
Hello. Sorry, I think there's a helicopter flying overhead. I can't hear it. Sorry. It didn't just drop me off.
No.
That may be coming to take Johnny Sperling away.
I think they need to, Roberta.
just on that, Roberta, we were saying, I know it's your daughter Ava's birthday today. She's 20. How amazing is that to have her birthday on the day that your dad lifted the World Cup?
I know, it's really special, isn't it? It's a nice touch.
It's incredible.
Done,
It's just, and also, I mean, of course, she never met your dad, and it's her granddad.
Yeah.
So all her growing up, all she's got is these memories that we've all got.
Yeah.
All she sees is your dad the hero. Her granddad was a hero. Fantastic.
How do they cope with that, Roberta? Yeah. The kids.
Well, do you know? I mean, it's really sad that he never met them and that they've never met him, but it's actually quite comforting that they can look at all the pictures and they've seen the film. So we've got Freddie, who's 23, and he's actually on a football scholarship in America.
Oh, is he really?
So he loves his football, and just, you know, they've both come along to any events or any occasions, and they go to West Ham, and I mean, it's just really nice that they have something that they can, you know, touch on.
Yes.
And they see all the accolades, and they, whenever we kind of bump into people who know Dad and they talk about him, I don't know, it just makes it feel that little bit more accessible and familiar. So it's very comforting.
Yeah. I was just going to, as you were just speaking about, obviously we talk about a little bit about West Ham. I know that Billy Bonds, you know, they sort of presented him recently in the state at the stand, you know. And you were there, weren't you? And I think he was very moved, wasn't he, when he saw you?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of went over to him. We were in the tunnel and I went over to him to say, oh, what a brilliant day, you know, many congratulations. And he burst into tears.
No.
I was like, wasn't quite the effect I was hoping to have. But anyway, he was obviously really moved. It was a really big day for him. He's such a lovely guy. It was a really nice moment. It was really special.
The
crowd, it was a really great day, actually. I was really pleased that we were there for that.
I feel like crying myself.
It is.
Only because we were talking about Billy Bonds earlier, and, you know, we worked a bit with him at Capital Gold years ago, and I was so proud that when he came on the line, we were in the studio and we had to link up with Jonathan Pierce, and he said, I've got Billy Bonds with me, and I sort of froze.
So nice.
Now, you know, obviously your dad worked with Jonathan Pierce as well, and Pierce, he was very
Pierce,
fond
he
of your dad,
him,
wasn't he?
Yeah, loved him.
No, absolutely. So actually it's funny because I haven't seen Jonathan for a long time, but from time to time we see Richard Park.
Yes.
Who is at Global, and he was one of the guys who employed, I think he was the guy who employed Dad and Jonathan, and I see him every now and then, and we talk about Dad and John, and it's all those lovely memories.
Yeah.
Brilliant times.
I know Richard Park was head of Capital when we were there, so he was like God.
He's a great guy.
He's really good fun. I like Richard.
You just heard about him. It was like he's God up there somewhere. Listen, looking back at there, Roberto, I know that last year myself and my son Cash were lucky enough to be invited by yourself along to the night that we had about Bobby Moore. And Jimmy Tarbuck and Harry Redknapp were there and spoke so well of some of those great stories.
Tarby loved him.
What was it like growing up, you know, when you were younger, having some of those sort of characters around?
Well, I mean, look, it's a long time ago. Obviously, the memory is intact.
Yeah.
Most of the time. It was brilliant. I remember we used to have a villa in Marbella, as you do when you're a footballer.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
was called, his nickname on the pitch, or, you know, kind of training, was Moro. So, strangely enough, the villa was called El Moro.
Yeah, brilliant. El Moro.
Brilliant.
And kind of on the same place that I can't remember where it was in Marbella, but Jimmy had, Tarby had a villa too.
Yeah.
And I remember going there, and Dean and I would be jumping in and out of the pool, and it'd be really late. And I remember Mum and Dad and Tarby and Pauline, and I think Kenny Lynch used to be there. Yeah.
Lynch, he would have been there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it was great. And I think I remember that I was kind of slightly horrified because they were playing Scrabble, but with rude words only.
That's brilliant. That's fantastic. I can well imagine
Absolutely.
That with Kenny Lynch.
Absolutely. Do you know, Roberto, I saw Jimmy Tarbuck in an interview a few months ago talking about your dad, and he said, and everyone thinks it, you know how they don't know they're born today, these footballers, you know?
Yeah.
Their careers are just, you know, and when he left football, I mean, everyone really kind of ostracised him a little bit. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And that wouldn't happen today.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen today.
How would you compare the likes, obviously, you know, listen, we've got Harry Kane as captain now. How would you compare the likes of the modern-day players to your dad?
Well, Well, I've got to be honest. I'm not the best. I'm not the best one to ask. I mean, I kind of follow it because it's around me.
Yeah.
Because my husband loves it. Freddie loves it. Blah blah blah. And I keep an eye on it, but I'm not a massive football fan. I mean, you know, I think Harry Kane was brilliant last year.
Yes.
I think he's got great qualities. I think he's quite commanding. I think that he seems to have a really nice temperament, and he seems to be very well respected. And is a good role model. And he's kind of got a clean image, which I think is quite key. Because it's the money. We all say it a million times over, but it's the money in the game, isn't it?
Changes.
That can be, you know, money, as I think it was Chaucer said once, avarice is the root of all evil. And I think people, when money gets involved, it can just taint things, and just people get affected by it.
Roberta, we got one minute left before we have to go to Sky News. But okay. I just wanted to ask you, just what did your dad say about what the fans were like in '66? Just the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, it's the kind of memory that you can't ever take away from anyone. I mean, it must have just been the biggest ride on earth, wasn't it? You know, just all that adulation. And I mean, you kind of think of all the momentum there was last year and how everyone got carried away. Well, it was the same, but all those years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the images, the streets of London were just, crawling with it. And as my mum often says, that was kind of the night that football in England really came alive. And all of a sudden they were catapulted into this whole other, you know, genre of kind of, not celebrity, but, you know, they suddenly, just everywhere they went, they were lauded and fated. I mean, I think it was an amazing time, as in the swinging 60s. I mean, it was amazing.
Do you know what, Roberta?
Yeah. They created it.
It's terrible that we've run out of time because we've got to go to Sky News, and it's so lovely having you on.
My pleasure. I'm really pleased we can make it work.
We'd love to have you on again, Roberta.
We've got to get you back.
Please.
Love to Matt. Love to the family. Happy birthday to Ava. Yeah. And enjoy your day. Thanks for coming on. Roberta Moore there.
Wow.
Fantastic.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Ben and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.